Here, Jenny, give me that gun.
Let go of me, Edgar. Do you hear?
Give me that gun.
I'll do no such thing. Let go of me.
Let go of you. I'll smash you.
Oh! Why, you...
Jenny, you shot me. Help! Help! Jenny, you've killed me.
Yes. Yes. I killed you.
Operator, send the police over here. I've just shot my husband.
A radio play for this week, Mrs. Dodd's Defense, is a dramatization based on a story entitled Wives Mustn't Shoot Their Husbands. This story will be found in the fascinating pages of next Sunday's issue of the American Weekly, the educational and entertaining magazine distributed with every Hearst Sunday newspaper from coast to coast.
Where's the Dodd woman?
Right this way, Mr. District Attorney.
Jenny Dodd sits in her cell after being booked at headquarters for the murder of her husband. She's awaiting anxiously the arrival of her lawyer. As she hears footsteps approaching, she comes to her cell door and looks down the corridor.
Here's the DA to see you, Mrs. Dodd.
The DA?
I'm the district attorney, Mrs. Dodd. I thought you might have something to say about the shooting.
I won't talk until after I've seen my lawyer.
Well, that's within your rights, Mrs. Dodd. But why go to all the trouble and waste of money on a trial? Yours is an open and shut case as far as my office is concerned.
Is it?
Sure. Your husband was found shot to death. In the house is found a recently fired .38 caliber revolver. Empty. Covered with your fingerprints. And if that's not enough, we have the statement of the telephone operator you asked to send the police, saying you just shot your husband.
Well?
Now, here's a written statement of all those little facts. Suppose you just sign it. Then everything will be all settled.
Yes, I suppose it would.
That's right. I knew you'd see the logical thing to do. Here's my fountain pen. Just sign your name there.
Hold on there.
Oh,
don't
Mr.
sign that
Walker.
Paper, Mrs. Dodd.
Oh, so you're going to be counsel in this case, are you, Walker?
I'm not going to be. I am. I got here as quickly as possible. I thought you'd be up to something like this.
You might just as well get her to sign this, Walker. It'll save time. I've got this case sewed up right now.
Well, the jury's not in yet with their verdict, Mr. District Attorney.
Now, listen, Walker. Juries are beginning to realize that a man killed by a woman is just as dead as one killed by another man.
Yes, even I will agree with you on that.
And if women insist on enjoying equal rights with man, they must pay a man's price for their mistake.
Save that for your courtroom audience, D.A. You're not scaring me or Mrs. Dodd. Now, if you'll leave us, my client and I would like to have a private talk.
All right, Counselor. But when you find out the facts as I have, you'll send for this little statement for your client to sign. I know you've got a record for acquittals, but this case is going to spoil it for you now.
Oh, Mr. Walker, what'll I do? Don't let them hang me. I don't want to die.
Oh, no, Mrs. Dodd. You must pull yourself together.
But I shot Edgar, and that man can prove it.
Of course he can. In fact, we're going to admit that you shot your husband.
Admit?
Yes.
Well, I thought you were going to defend me.
I am. That's part of your defense.
Admitting I killed Edgar?
Exactly.
That's a funny defense for murder.
Oh, now, wait a moment. Who said anything about murder? All I said was that we're going to admit you shot your husband. Our friend the DA has to prove premeditation, that you deliberately shot with intent to kill, before they can call what you did murder.
I see.
Now, was there any eyewitness to the shooting?
No. Edgar and I were alone in the house.
Good. That makes it all the harder for the DA and easier for us.
How do you mean?
We'll plead temporary insanity, and you won't be able to prove a thing.
But I'm not insane.
No, of course not. All you have to do is claim that from the moment you got possession of the gun, your mind was a blank. When you came to your senses, your husband was dead.
But the district attorney says he has the gun with my fingerprints on it. And a confession, because I told that operator, that telephone operator,
yes,
that I shot Edgar.
No, don't let that upset you. That won't make any difference. I'll get you off with an acquittal.
Oh, but he's clever. He almost had me sign that paper. He'll trip me up when I take the witness stand.
Oh, no, he won't. All you have to do is stick to one answer, and there's no DA living can trip you up.
And what is the answer?
Just this. No matter what he asks you, just say, I don't remember. My mind was a blank.
Now, gentlemen of the jury,
Jenny Dodd waited for the first opportunity to assassinate her husband in cold blood. Hearing him talking on the telephone, she pretended she had caught him in conversation with a rival and advanced on him with a loaded 38 caliber revolver.
Oh, you double-crossed me, two-timing cheat.
Jenny, stop, for heaven's sake. Don't point that gun at me.
I've stood all I'm going to from you.
Listen, put that gun down, Jenny. I can explain everything.
You've done all the explaining you're going to do. This is the end.
You've got to listen, Jenny. You've got it all wrong. Now, please put that gun down and listen to me. You've got it all wrong.
I've got it all wrong ever since I married you. But this is going to make everything all right.
You shot me.
Yes, and I'm not through shooting.
Help. Help.
Don't go out on that porch. Come back here. Operator, send the police over here. I've just shot my husband.
And Jenny Dodd was free from her husband at last.
I object. Your Honor, the prosecutor has no evidence to corroborate the recital of the shooting. I ask that the jury be instructed to disregard the colorful fiction of the prosecutor.
Objection sustained. The jury will disregard what has just been dramatized. The district attorney will please confine himself to evidence at hand.
Very well, Your Honor.
Gentlemen of the jury, counsel for the defendant thinks that by having my reconstruction of the shooting stricken from the record, he has saved his client from being held responsible for this crime. But the state has introduced evidence which cannot be stricken out of the record and which links his client irrevocably to the crime. The testimony of the medical examiner as to his findings at the autopsy. The testimony of the gun expert.
I object, Your Honor. There's no proper time for summation on the part of the state.
Objection sustained.
The state rests.
Order in the court.
Keep your chin up, Mrs. Dodd.
You'll
probably take the wind out of the DA's sails.
The defense may proceed.
May it please the court, gentlemen of the jury, my distinguished opponent, the prosecutor, says Jenny Dodd shot her husband. We admit she did, gentlemen. The prosecutor's recital of the shooting of Edgar Dodd was pure fiction because he has no eyewitness to the death of Edgar Dodd. Without that eyewitness, the state's case is made of paper. Gentlemen of the jury, I will now present the only living eyewitness to the tragedy who will tell you what actually occurred. Mrs. Jenny Dodd, please take the stand. Place your hand on the book. Do you solemnly swear that the evidence you shall give in this case is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you?
I do.
What is your full name?
Jenny Baker Dodd.
Address?
168 Evergreen Street.
Be seated. Now, Mrs. Dodd, you will please tell the court and the jury, in your own words, the story of the shooting of your husband.
Yes, sir. For some time, I had suspected my husband of being unfaithful to me, but I had never been able to get any proof. On the morning of the tragedy, I'd been out to do my marketing. As I entered the house, I heard my husband on the telephone, evidently talking to some woman. I wanted to catch the conversation and, if possible, learn her name. So I quietly approached the telephone stand. Edgar happened to look up into the mirror and saw me standing behind him.
What happened then?
He slammed down the receiver, pulled a revolver from his pocket and aimed it at me.
Did he say anything to you?
Yes. He said, "So you'll spy on me, will you? I'll fix you."
Then what happened?
I grabbed the gun, and there was a scuffle. He struck me. My mind went blank. When I came to my senses, Edgar was lying at my feet in the front hall.
What did you do when you saw him lying there?
I saw he was dead. And then I called the operator for the police.
Thank you, Mrs. Dodd. All right, Mr. Prosecutor, your witness.
No, Mrs. Dodd, you're quite sure you didn't sneak up behind your husband with a gun in your hand?
Yes.
Your husband drew the gun and threatened you?
Yes.
How many times did you shoot the gun when he finally got in your possession?
I don't remember. My mind was a blank.
When he got shot, was your husband facing you or did he have his back to you?
I don't remember. My mind was a blank.
There were two bullet holes in his back. How did you receive them?
I don't remember. My mind was a blank.
And all you do remember is struggling for the gun.
Yes.
Now, Mrs. Dodd, didn't you follow your husband to the front steps and shooting all the time as you advanced?
I object.
Objection overruled. Witness will answer the question.
No, no, no. It's not true. It's not true. I never went out of the house.
But how do you know? Your mind was a blank.
Well, when I came to my senses, I was standing in the hall with a gun in my hand. Edgar was lying at my feet.
Now, Mrs. Darden, let me get this straight. Your husband threatened you with a gun. You struggled with him. The gun exploded, and your mind went blank, and the next thing you remember, you were standing over his dead body in the hall.
Yes.
That's all. I'm finished with the witness.
You may step down from the stand, Mrs. Dodd. Thank you. Your Honor, the defense rests.
Your Honor, Your Honor, one of my assistants has just entered the courtroom with a witness that we have been searching for since this case began. I ask permission to examine him at this time.
You may proceed, Mr. Prosecutor.
Ollie Brown, please take the stand.
Did you ever see that man before, Mrs. Dodd?
No, I never saw him in my life.
Oh. Do you solemnly swear that the evidence you shall give in this case is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you?
I do.
What is your full name?
Ollie Abraham Lincoln George Washington William McKinley Brown.
Be seated.
Mr. Brown, where were you on the day that Mr. Edgar Dodd was murdered?
Well, sir, I was helping to build a house across the street from 168 Evergreen Street.
Tell the court and the jury what happened while you were at work.
Yes, sir. You see, I was working away when suddenly I felt something sting me in the leg. Well, I thought it was a bee. When I reached down to squash it, I saw a bullet lying at my feet. It had bust right through a 2x4 plank and stung me. My rabbit foot sure was good to me.
Did you discover where the bullet came from?
Yes, sir.
Where?
From 168 Evergreen Street, sir.
How could you be sure?
Well, I see the man collapse on the steps and a woman, that lady over there. She was bending over him with a gun in her hand. Then she kicked him a couple of times and dragged him into the house and at the door.
Then what happened?
Oh, then what happened, sir? I don't know, because I didn't stay around. I grabbed my lunch pail and I left in a hurry. I didn't want to overwork that rabbit foot.
Thank you, Mr. Brown. The witness is at the disposal of the defense.
No question.
You may step down, Mr. Brown.
Well, Jenny, there goes our defense.
What's going to happen to me now?
Oh, you'll probably get the rest of your life to think about your mistake.
My mistake? You mean my shooting Edgar?
No, there seems to have been no mistake about that. But you forgot to remember the first rule of the game. Always look before you shoot.
This radio drama to which you have just listened was taken from an amazing story entitled Wives Mustn't Shoot Their Husbands. You'll find this story in your copy of next Sunday's issue of the American Weekly, the magazine distributed with all Hearst Sunday newspapers from coast to coast. This is Wentworth announcing and turning the microphone over to your own announcer. Thank you.